$1,500.
And how many jobs do you have to hold down to pay that rent?
Absolutely. And of course, the other thing is, even if they can find an apartment for $600 or $700, and there's some of those around, the point is they have to have, you know, first and last and good credit and so on and so forth. So it ends up being real serious.
Well, there got to be people also who, you know, who aren't into a fundamentalist church, which is what you have.
Well, that's right.
You know, and you're a conservative Christian in some respects. You know, you've gained some notoriety for what some call a homophobic agenda at Disneyland. Others say it has to do with family values. So there might be some folks who would say, gee, you know, I don't want anything to do with this guy, even though he's a sweet guy in many other ways. Yeah. What I'm saying is that there got to be people on the streets who maybe you even hear about, but who just don't use your facilities other than the, you know, maybe hardcore alcoholic and drug users for other reasons. And I'm just, you haven't got any estimates of how many folks those are in that community of 75,000?
No, I really don't. You know, it's really hard for us without going out and doing actual research. I suppose we can do some extrapolations. The county says that we have somewhere around 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. In Orange County. Now, what proportion of those we have in Buena Park, that's, you know, sort of anybody's guess.
Well, Orange County, you know, is it's actually quite a famous county because it was from your county that the Eichhorn case came, I guess, in the neighboring city of Santa Ana, where the ruling is that, you know, folks who are camping outside, even if it's against the law, they have to allow the individual the so-called necessity defense, which is something that some of the folks here in Camp Paradise, when it was going, used in our courts unsuccessfully, but that's on appeal, and successfully in Santa Barbara in the case of Ridley and Cooper, who slept in their vehicles and were, you know, they told them, go to a church or, you know, we're going to ticket you, and that the courts ruled that's not an adequate alternative. You can't force someone to go to a church where they may have to, for example, engage in religious services they don't believe in. And what I guess my thought is, has the necessity defense been used much? Have you seen much of that?
As a matter of fact, the court in which I was charged, see, that was going to be our plan was to use the necessity defense, because the necessity defense basically said that these people had no other place to go, and if I didn't allow them to stay at the church, they had nowhere to go, and as a result of that, then you know, I should have been let go. But the judge would not allow the necessity defense.
Now, wait a minute. When was this?
This was in 97.
Right. This, of course, and then 2 years later, the Eichhorn decision ruled that the judge has to allow that as a defense.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we were not allowed to use the necessity defense. And in all honesty, even though the Eichhorn decision has made it, quote, yes, you can use it, in reality, you really can't, because there's like four prongs or something like that.
Six.
That you have to meet, and all a judge has to say is, well, in this case, you don't meet all four prongs, therefore, I'm not going to allow it. He's not totally disallowing, he's just saying you don't, quote, qualify.
Well, you know, of course, I know you have your attorney, John Alexander, who can probably advise you on this, but as someone who's done some study of the necessity defense, first of all, I think are we talking infraction or misdemeanors in...
Well, we're talking about criminal misdemeanors.
Right. Now, misdemeanors, of course, and people should know that, although in Santa Cruz, sleeping ban and camping ban is almost always treated as an infraction, which means you don't have access to a jury, and you don't have access to a public defender if you're indigent. In your county, in your city, you do have access to a public defender, and you do have access to a jury. You can demand a jury trial, which I think is what you did in the case of this woman on the railroad tracks, right?
Absolutely. And so we do have some avenue there. But in all reality, one of the other things that happened is that because I would go into court with these people, and because my attorney would give them legal advice, and I would give them spiritual counsel, you know, my counsel spiritually would be, if you're not guilty, don't say you're guilty. You know, that's against our religion. To say that we're guilty when we're innocent, you know, and that's a basic tenet of our religion. And then, of course, the lawyer said, if you're not guilty, plead not guilty, from a legal perspective. And the judge has banned me from the courthouse because he said that I'm jamming up the courts because these people demand jury trials.
I know you sought an injunction against that. We talked about how you were broadcasting, and you do a broadcast every morning, I believe, from 9 to 10?
From 9 to 10, that's correct.
In fact, I may be appearing on your radio show tomorrow. I was supposed
to... We'd love to have you call in and appear on the show, and just give us a call, and we'd love to have you on. By the way, we've got a new thing just happened this week. While the mayor, Patsy Marshall, has been somewhat on our side, she obviously has to take, you know, the policy from above, But since she's been somewhat on our side, she was just out of town in Washington, D.C., and while she was out of town, the four other city council members voted on Tuesday night to revoke a street vendor's license. We have a large Hispanic community. In fact, probably Buena Park is probably more like 80% Hispanic. And we have a large population that do not have vehicles, and they do not have access to local grocery stores, as well as they want ethnic produce and things that they can only get from a street vendor, i.e. a Mexican street vendor that they're familiar with. And so it's a necessity to some degree and very necessary. So the city indeed has allowed vendors to operate in the city of Buena Park. But listen to this, $2,727.50 for a street vendor's license in the city of Buena Park.
And previously it was how much?
Well, a couple hundred bucks. But now they revoked recently, on Tuesday night, they revoked a lady's license because there is a stipulation in the law that says that if you have a license, even if you pay the $2,700 fee, then there is a stipulation that says you cannot stop more than 10 minutes. In other words, you have to do your business and within 10 minutes. And so if she has one customer that comes and picks out a cantaloupe and pays, and it takes 8 or 9 minutes, then she has to say to the second customer, okay, let's go away. You know, we got to move. And so this lady has been cited some 15 times for violating the 10-minute rule, and now they pull her license.
Now,
so now she cannot do business in Buena Park.
Now, are you telling me that, you told me before, is are you actually saying that 80% of Buena Park is Spanish-speaking?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not necessarily. Well, let's put it this way. Probably 75% to 80% of Buena Park is ethnically Latino or Hispanic. They may not all speak. Some of them don't speak Spanish. Many of them just have Latino backgrounds. You know, some of them don't speak English. You know.
Well, what about
the population don't speak English?
Well, what about the council, the city council? What percentage of that is Latino or
zero? Zip, nada.
So you have a case like the South after the Civil War, where you have lily white political organs and police departments, and you have, I don't know about the police department, it sounds like the city council is not representative.
Well, we have a smattering of Hispanics on the police department, otherwise the Hispanics would probably burn the town down. You know, there are none on the city council. Steve Barry is one councilman. Jim Dow is the other council. Patsy Marshall is the mayor. Gerald Siegler, is on the city council. And Mayor Art Brown.
Don't say Sieg Heil in Santa Cruz or they'll arrest you. I was put in jail for that. Actually, not for saying Sieg Heil.
You just did a hand gesture.
I did a hand gesture, yeah, that's right.
And we're arrested for that. Well, we live in some strange times.
We're talking to Wiley Drake, pastor of a Buena Park church that actually accommodates homeless people. It's probably, you're the biggest homeless shelter in Buena Park, right?
Well, we're the only homeless shelter in Buena Park.
As well as the legal ombudsperson for a lot of homeless people, at least a number that I've heard, who've come to you and gotten able to have their tickets dismissed, not just because, you know, I mean, you bring in legal counsel, you raise your voices. How many people actually get involved in, let's say, an average case, like the case of these two grandmothers and their pets?
Well, you know, we really don't know how many people get involved, because what we do is we have a large group of people, and I have no idea how many, but we send out emails. In fact, you'll get an email from me tonight talking about this street vendor thing, giving you the mayor's number and how to get in touch with them. And basically an article from the local newspaper that says, here's what's going on. And I think it's a fair presentation. Even the mayor herself said she thought the article was fair. And so basically what we'd ask you as a citizen to do, even of Santa Cruz, is to read the article and say, hey, what should I do? And if you think, hey, that's a great idea, they ought to have the 10-minute rule, they ought not allow street vendors, then call her and tell her, hey, Mayor, you're doing a great job. But if you disagree, call her and let her know that as well. And so we encourage people to call and give them their opinion. And we do it on our show. And I don't always go against the city. I fought with the city and for the city and against the city. You know, when many things that they wanted to do I thought was a good idea, and I tried to present both sides of the story. And we do that on our show as well as we do that publicly and go before the city council.
Well, I apologize for not getting back to you in the morning show. You do an hourly morning show from 9 to 10. My problem tomorrow is I'm actually been invited to come speak to a group of college students down in the Monterey area, so I'm going to roll down there. I won't be there tomorrow, but maybe, I guess you don't have it on the weekends, maybe next Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, next Monday would be fine. We do a show on the weekend, but it's really church. Mm-hmm. We basically just broadcast our evening worship service on Sunday. So actually my activity of activism is Monday through Thursday from 9 to 10. And by the way, I would encourage anyone, even in your area, to call in to our show and let people know that they're going to be listening, because you can get it anywhere. It's at www.crusaderadio.com. And if they want to call in and give us their opinion on anything we're talking about or what you're talking about, they're welcome to do so. The number is 559-732-5005. And if you call that number, again, 559-732-5005, and just say, I want to talk to Wiley, they'll put you through and you come on the line, and we'll let you share your opinion.
And that's
www.crusaderadio.com.
Crusade Radio every morning on the weekday morning between 9 and 10.
That's correct. And like I said, anytime during that hour, we do a lot of things. We play a little music. We talk about patriotic things. We are promoting the presidential prayer team, and we promote the Congressional Prayer Conference, and we promote a lot of other stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime during that show, if you call in, I've got a plug in my ear, and the guy says, "Wiley, you got a caller," you know, and so I take the caller.
So,
as long as they, you know, don't violate the, you know, basic common decency, we won't cut anybody off. And, and so we'll be glad to let them air their opinion or share or agree with us or disagree with us, either one.
Okay. I appreciate that, Wiley, and I hope I have that number here again. It's 559-732, is that right?
Correct.
5005 at www.crusaderradio, and it's actually 1R.com,
right? Yeah, just 1R. Crusade Radio.
Crusade Radio.
If you look at it, people think it's Crusader, but it's not. It's Crusade Radio.
Well, someone call you Crusader Rabbit there, Wiley.
Well, that's what we've been thinking about, putting Crusader Rabbit on a business card, but we haven't gotten that far yet.
One of my favorite shows. Listen, thank you for calling in, and good luck with your continuing struggle down there. Let us know more details as you learn them.
Okay, and you'll get an email. If you check your email tonight, you'll find one on this street vendor issue, and you'll see the article there from the Orange County Register.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thank you much.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And it's Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That was Wiley Drake showing you that democracy really has to do with public participation. You can only secure democratic rights if you act against those folks who wish to deny them in government and mobilize people to support the rights of poor people. That's the only way it's going to work. That's the only way it really does work in practice. In Santa Cruz, we have the same situation. I actually have a press release and an article here that folks can read. The press release I'm going to try to be distributing as a flyer, but it was turned out earlier as an email, a fine email, by activist Becky Johnson the night I was jailed. And again, for those who just tuned in, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norris, and we're talking about, we have been talking about Buena Park and civil rights for poor and homeless people down there, but also here in Santa Cruz, where at City Council, in response to a mayor's cutoff of oral communications and rather, I thought, abusive and shabby treatment, a silent gesture protesting that, a very brief silent gesture, which is an arm raised sort of in the fascist salute, indicating a sort of satirical sense that this is just wrong, you're acting like a fascist to do this. It wasn't disruptive, it didn't stop the meeting, it didn't interfere with anybody's view. It was something that Councilmember Fitzmaurice, during his reign, Fuhrer Fitzmaurice, as I used to call him, as mayor, had barred. He had said, if this ever happens, I'm going to have you evicted from the chambers and so forth. That's fine to make such statements, but in the United States, in public assemblies, particularly in assemblies that are covered by the Brown Act, people are allowed to speak content that city council members don't like. It may even be anathema to a lot of other people in the room. It is still the right of the citizen to do that. And, you know, it's not just the right of Skokies to march in, you know, Illinois. It's the right of an individual to raise his arm in a swastika salute indicating you are acting like a Nazi in Santa Cruz. Obviously, you would think in liberal Santa Cruz, this rather
Clearpoint would be something that the city council wouldn't miss. Now, I had a caller who called in who suggested to me that he disagreed with me on this issue. This is a regular caller, and I won't reveal his name unless he wants to call in and talk about it himself. But he said that, well, he really had to take issue with me because he felt that the spectacle of a bunch of arms raised at the back of the chamber would be really something that the city council and the community couldn't tolerate. I'm not quite sure if I'm putting it properly the way he would say, but it wasn't the right, didn't send the right message, wasn't the right ambiance, was inappropriate, something along those lines. And I've got to say that democracy is about not about ambiance, not about propriety. Democracy is often about hard issues, often about issues where people strongly disagree. It's not about nice commentary. It is about cutting-edge things that sometimes reveal very, very strong passions. And it's about the right to express things in different ways. And it seems clear to me, and that's the reason I did not leave that council chamber when Mayor Crone said to me, you have to leave the council chamber or we'll arrest you. I said, then you have to do what you have to do, in essence. And I just sat down, because you cannot allow the mayor of a city to intimidate citizens into leaving a public meeting because he's instructed to do so by the council member on his right who doesn't like a symbol you raise or doesn't like something you do that is not disruptive to the public process, but that person has decided is not fitting in a public meeting. You just can't do it. Otherwise, the democratic process dies. And we've been seeing that death over the last 2 years, little by little, in this city council. And it really saddened me that a lot of people there, you know, hastened to disassociate themselves from me as this happened. People who had stood up and given long discussions of the Peace Park and how they supported peace apparently don't support democracy in Santa Cruz, or at least not in their city council. They weren't willing to stand up with me there. And that really was a sad thing for me to see. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'm going to do it anyway, because I think that the issue has to be raised. But democracy means the right to present unpopular views. The only basis for stopping someone and interrupting them, as these mayors and council members are doing more and more frequently and with more and more regularity, is if there is truly a disruptive behavior going on that disrupts the process. That would be like somebody screaming or shouting or, you know, maybe challenging someone to fight repeatedly. It would be like someone breaking the law in the city council. That would be the basis for calling on the police and threatening someone with the need for removal from the room because the process could not continue. You don't do it to make it look nice to the community or to please any particular group or part of the community. This is a community of many different voices. And you don't do it because Fitzmaurice, I think, originally began these kinds of his concerns about decorum because he heard complaints from, frankly, people I regarded as bigots. They didn't like all the homeless people coming to the council meetings and characterizing some of the comments of neighbors who said, as Peter Eberle, for example, the Downtown Association suggested that he couldn't have homeless people in their vehicles because they might engage in child molesting and kidnapping. That, to me, is a form of hate speech against the homeless. I'm not going to suppress it. I'm not going to say you can't say it. But you bet your butt I'm going to characterize it. And if somebody gives a Nazi salute when that kind of thing is said, I think that's perfectly legitimate public comment. In fact, I agree with it. But even if I didn't agree with it, even if there were a real fascist in the audience who were, let's say, giving the Nazi salute to the flag because he felt it was patriotic what President Bush was doing at last, regaining the national honor, that would be his right to do that. Particularly in a public place, in a public assembly. Where else, if not there? You have to have those basic rights in our society. That's at least what I've believed all my life. That's what I've been taught all my life, and I think it's true. I think it's good. It's not adequate, it's not sufficient, but it certainly is necessary. So, that's why I spent 5.5 hours in jail. That's why I'm in this intricate court process where I'm facing a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. That's why I'm risking, again, being harassed and barred from city council the next time I show up there. I don't make it a practice of, you know, giving the Nazi salute every 5 seconds. I do it on those occasions when it seems appropriate and a matter of pertinent public comment. Although, if I find that the chair is trying to repress people who are doing it, I'm more likely to do it. Because I feel that one cannot reward such repression. If you do, as I said, you see the death of what little democracy we have. We have a caller.
Hi, you're on the air on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Yo.
This is Mike Tomasi.
Hey, Mike.
I was listening you talk about Nazism and giving the sign to Mr. Fitzmaurice. Mr. Fitzmaurice is a Nazi. Our city council are Nazis. And everything that you do, Robert, is great. And do you want to come to court tomorrow morning? 10 o'clock, Department 1.
What's happening with you tomorrow in court, Mike?
Mr. Butchie Baker and I were going to get into it in the courtroom.
What's the charge?
The charge was my motorhome leaking shit when it wasn't.
You're talking about your septic tank leaking?
Right.
Okay, now what courtroom is in? I can't come, Michael, because I'm going to be in Monterey talking to a class of students. But there might be some other folks who can come. So which department is it, you know?
Well, I was just saying, it's Department 1 at 10 o'clock.
Well, I would encourage people, if they're interested. Michael, you were expelled from the chambers right before this incident began.
Mr. Crone. What did you call him? Bureau Crone?
The mayor.
Bureau Fitzmaurice?
Yeah.
Bureau Sugar? Okay, I only been through three of them. That's all I can talk about them. But Mr. Fitzmaurice, I was standing in line when I was about one person ready to go. He walked up. I mean, this is after hours, after I listened to the Girl Scouts, who are beautiful. And if I was Mayor Crone, I would have got up and given them a big hug instead of the speech. Because they don't know what compassion is. Nazis don't. But anyway, Mr. Crone came up and said, Micah, you can't speak tonight. You spoke last night in my ear. Then I sat down. Then Mr. Butchie Baker came strolling in. Like he was some kind of badass dude, right?
Sergeant Baker.
Hey, this man ain't no sergeant. This is a petty cockroach. This man said, was making a finger at me to come outside. He wanted to apologize to me. I looked at him. I said, Mister, I'm not going anywhere with you. And if you don't get away from me, I'm going to get up and kick your ass. Then I took my stone out of my pocket, and I showed it to Butchie Baker. And he wandered off like a little girl. You understand? He beats up little girls. He's a pussy.
Well, Michael, let me just say this. I don't, you know, I think a lot of the things you say are often intemperate, and I don't agree with them, but I feel that you should have the right to participate like others at city council.
Hey.
And I think that, you know,
Mr.
that's
Mr.
the
Robert
important part.
Mr. Robert Norris?
Yeah.
I have the right as much as you do, pal. You understand?
You should have.
Say what I want. I'm an American. I was born in the United States of America. I fought for your United States of America. I took the shit from you protesters. And you know something, man? I respect everything about everything that you did as well as I respect everything that I did.
Thank you, Michael. And listen, I got to roll because I haven't got much time left. But let me invite people again to come and witness your trial.
Well, you know what? You're going to witness Butchie ass getting his ass kicked right in the courtroom.
Well, I hope that he.
I'm not talking about with my fist either.
No, I understand, and I hope that as a homeless person who lives in his vehicle, that your rights are guaranteed by the courts. I don't think it's likely to happen, and I think it's more likely to happen if people come and observe what goes on. I want to thank you for calling, Michael.
Okay, Robert. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And lines are open, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Give us a call, and hopefully we can proceed. And let me introduce this next tape with this sort of appropriate introduction.